All right, welcome to another Brothers Wisps. I don't know which episode. Greg can only one that keeps track of that. And as you can see, Greg is not here. And because Greg's not here, we're having to use Hangouts. First time I've used Hangouts, but we're not all sitting at the same desk. So for all I know, you can just be seeing one person the entire time, and I have no idea. We have Tom. And we have new to us, I believe, for casting of Alex.
That is true.
Alex, tell us a little about yourself. What do you do? Where are you at? How'd you meet up with the rest of this group?
I come from a long line of ISPs. I met up with Greg actually back in Pittsburgh for the first time in person, and rejoined in Miami. And here I am, part of the group. Happy to be part of the banter. I currently reside in Oregon. I was previously up in Seattle, and I'm working for a company that does social 3D avatar chat and games. So
nice. It the whole line of questions. He's not here, and I don't know what they are, so I guess we'll just move on. Tom, what have you been up to lately?
Hi guys. Nothing much really, just tipping away, working on, Jesus, what have I been doing? just building out, we're kind of expanding our network, we're using different kind of 17 gig links now. I don't know, you guys, can you use 17 gig links in the States, or are you stuck?
No, the 17 is not available to us. For unlicensed, we go from 5 gig straight up to 24.
All right, cool. I mean, not so good. Yeah, the Polish apparently have 10 gigs, which is kind of nice as well, which we don't have. That's pretty well.
All right. Either of you have some news to talk about? I've got a list of things I can start us off with.
The cloud hosted router sounds like it could be very good. Sounds like they're going to do stuff that we wanted for, and I've been banging on about for a long time, so I'm reasonably excited by that. I think the licensing model change could be positive. Might be expensive, but I think it's positive in terms of getting support for that platform, because, you know, the whole economics behind the current x86 support of MikroTik doesn't exist, you know. So I think that's positive. What do you think, guys?
Alex, go ahead. Alex still here? Alex was having issues earlier, so maybe he's gone. Maybe it's just Tom and I. All right. Well, I guess, I've been looking forward to it. All the things that we've been asking for, they're starting to do. You know, they've got FastPath on x86. They're talking about some pretty big throughputs. Alex might be coming back.
Yeah.
And they're really, really cranking out the releases. It seems like they've had several releases in the past few weeks.
Yeah, and I think the addition of like the real VertIO and let's say hypervisor kind of optimized drivers is really a good development, and it will allow it, let's say, and see how it actually works in the, I hate saying it, the cloud, but on people's virtualized infrastructure, I think it could be a very positive step, and, you know, it's been something I've been saying to them for years, so I'm kind of pleased that they're kind of moving that direction. I think it makes sense. The 1 meg license model is very similar to the actual Cisco NetScaler or Citrix NetScaler model, you know, where you get a fully functional thing, but it's limited to 1 meg. use it, so you can actually use it for training. You can, you know, deploy a lab, pretty much a limited lab in terms of, you know, for training and testing purposes. And it looks like they're supporting multiple different hypervisor versions, which I think is absolutely very positive, very good. You know, because I have to say I was in a bad place for a while when I wasn't seeing any progress on that, you know.
Right, yeah. It, now that Alex seems to be back, any thoughts, comments on the cloud-hosted router?
You know, I've been playing around with MyTech in the virtualized environment. It's cool that they've actually come full circle to officially support that, and I do like the licensing model. When you're doing one-off projects or you want to, you know, try things out in a lab environment rather than connecting up a bunch of devices or trying to do in a virtual environment, it's cool to see that they've shifted to the model they have that allows you to freely lab and experiment. So happy to see the progress there.
Yeah. And I do think it'll probably result in a change in terms of, let's say, for the commercial licensing of it. You know, I think they may move to a subscription model, I don't know, but it certainly the way they're changing the licensing for it, I think it's an indication that they might be moving in a different direction for that type of you know, the way the current license is done on the actual serial number of the hard disk, so it doesn't they don't have much enforcement options on the licensing, let's say, with the traditional virtualization. Like, I'm sure we've all probably fired them up in VMware or VirtualBox or Xen if you were to get it working, you know, or even Hyper-V or Microsoft Virtual Machine 2005, as I did back in the day. So,
right.
So, like, I think it's good that way that, you know, it's I think it's moving in the right direction, or at least I hope so. You know, so
find a model that supports them as a company, but also keeps the honest people honest, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But it also means that, you know,
I've been following the Ethereum when they announced it, and I noticed there's been a lot of people asking for the same thing, like nobody reads the damn thread. Like more than once I've commented, like I've quoted Normus who's saying, you know, we're gonna do this, or we're not gonna do that. You said it like four or five times already. And I'm like, aren't you getting tired of that? He's like, I guess I have to just keep repeating myself. People don't listen. But that's gotta get aggravating. But yeah,
but that's what we've got to do. We have to keep repeating ourselves because they don't listen sometimes.
We used to do that, or we still do that.
Now, just remember, I can't edit any of this. So, this is what it is.
I don't know. But no, it's haven't heard already. Like,
you know. Yeah, but I mean, you know, they have had a lot of stuff going on over there lately. It was like there was nothing going on for a long time, and now we've. In version 7, we're going to have 64-bit. We have this new cloud-hosted router. And I believe what I saw in one of the threads was that not all of these drivers are going to make it back into the regular router OS. Like the VMXNet 3 and stuff like that won't be ported to the other side. So they're going to be maintaining two separate branches. Of router OS, good or bad.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, I have a little bit of concern about that, a little bit anyway. Maybe not so much for VMXNet, but certainly for the Intel drivers, I think they're trying to support a wide range of cards from the consumer models with the very small layer 2 MTU to the enterprise cars that do. But the problem is, I think they're kind of focused more on supporting a lot of hardware rather than the enterprise hardware really well. I think there needs to be probably a standard there somehow that, look, you've a crappy card, so we're going to do some crappy workarounds to get MPLS working. And then if you actually have proper enterprise hardware, they kind of go, congratulations, you have a brainwave enterprise stuff. We can actually fully support or implement the MPLS stack on your hardware as documented. So I think they do need to and perhaps I'd like to hear from what the developers might say about that, but I do think I just ran into some weird issues with MPLS on x64 where the IP MTU had to be expanded to actually make VPLS traffic work, even though if you look at all the documentation, all the labels go outside that. And it was on a card that actually supported it. So there's just some funnies like that that kind of as bluntly as these are worse frustrating. So it'd be interesting just to see how they actually manage the split between driver and I hope to get it right.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity here, both in virtualized centric and just regular bare metal x86 support. I've got some dual socket Xeons, fairly recent processors. I know that you got some pretty beefy router setups yourself that already scream pretty well. I like to see those guys running fast pass, fast path, and fast track when available. I was pushing like 30 plus gigs while running bandwidth tests on the same boxes and only hitting like 20-30%. So I can only imagine what it would be doing an iPerf through the box, but then with fast path and fast track.
It can be interesting, like if the drivers if the driver families and the virtualization hardware is much better, you may find a situation like the Cisco NetScalers, for example, where effectively you deploy, you get a pizza box and they have some sort of virtualization hardware on it. I think the native ones for Cisco are kind of, it's a Zen-based one now, which first Cisco NetScaler, and then you actually deploy your NetScaler software. So you have one pizza box and you have, or two pizza boxes if you have high availability, and effectively you run a VM in each one of them, but if the performance is better, I don't think people will care too much. But it'd be interesting to see what it'd be like native as well, and get good native support as well.
It's also nice when you're virtualizing the router. If you're troubleshooting, you can actually have a Linux box, on the same hardware to run some custom monitoring or tools to, troubleshoot connections outside of the router.
Absolutely, and it reduced the cost of deployment, and it increased the options available to you in terms of having like a hosted VPN service, actually offering kind of bespoke infrastructure as a service. So you say, hey, rather than just the model of here's a website, and now you can kind of say, well, here's a website, here's a reverse proxy, here's your VPN concentrator, and you're selling now a couple of VMs, which traditionally, kind of like the Amazon model, where they have, let's say, the virtual checkpoint firewalls, you have the virtual brocade Viata type firewalls or load balancers in front of the website, you know?
Right.
But yeah, so yeah, it's pretty interesting. Hi, Justin.
Mooks. Hey.
Welcome, Miller.
Let me get some headphones.
Right now, we're just talking about the cloud-hosted router. Yeah, I can see a situation too where you want to upgrade the firmware or something, or you know, have a couple versions on the same hardware. It's really easy to copy configuration over or to try out a firmware and know if it's the hardware or the software. You can just fire up the other virtualized version of the same router and perhaps send that information back to MikroTik for quicker bug fixes.
Yeah, no, it would be. I think it can be good for that. And again, for an education platform, I think myself, Patrick Schaub, there was a couple of guys in Germany that I work with. I know that Wardner Maya in Brazil also uses QEMU, I can't pronounce it, QEMU. He uses like a GLS3 and all that type of stuff as a training platform as well for his clients. So it's, he even has on his website, he actually has images you can download ready to rock and roll. So I think it's a pretty good, positive move, you know. I'll try and root out a link for you, but it's pretty cool, like what you did with it.
Justin, any thoughts on the cloud-hosted router?
I'm excited about it once they lift the 1 meg per interface limit. I want to really get it in there and try it. Like I use it in the ESXi platforms that we have now, and got two CloudCore routers and two uplinks from a virtual MikroTik to each one of those CloudCore routers for redundancy. And performance is, I can only get about 330 megs out of it before it runs out of steam. So curious to see what happens when I upgrade it to one of those cloud-hosted routers, what kind of performance I can expect to get out of that.
I had version 5-something rather running in ESXi for the longest time as a cloud router until the demand exceeded the performance that the box could do. A lot of that's going to be driver limitations, obviously.
Yeah, I just got DNS, my authoritative and caching DNS servers, and our monitoring and stuff like that. Low bandwidth requirements for all that stuff that's behind it, but still want it to be redundant and everything. So, it works out well.
Yeah, we use it on like at the moment for a kind of small bit of management routing. So if you can imagine just the route management traffic or maybe some database backend traffic if it's light. And also for like application level stuff, so as you've probably seen before, using MikroTik as a reverse proxy in front of other proxies that we have, so and in front of our website. So we do a lot of filtering of requests before it hits our website. So it works quite well in that, in fairness, but then again, we're not Amazon, and we're not, so I can't say my website's that popular. Damn you, world, for not loving my website and stuff like that. But, no, it's pretty okay.
Let's bring up another vendor here with Ubiquiti. Do you guys see the AF3X and the AF2X?
Yeah, those guys have been pretty busy lately with new announcements.
Yeah, they've got that and the Edge Switch Lite and that Edge Router DPI, and each of their groups seems to be doing something other than the AirMax group.
Edge Router X, the Light Beam.
They're all stolen for those other projects.
But for those that don't know, the AF3X, AF2X is just a continuation of the AF5X. One operates in the 3.5 GHz band, the other in 2.4. The U.S. version of the 3 will do the 3650 to 3700 and should support the new expanded band once ever the FCC stops screwing around and lets us use it.
Is the 2.4 version only useful like on the moon or something? Cause,
like, well, I talked to a few people. I talked to a few people, and the kind of common thought was that there's a lot of WISPs that have gone away from 2.4 for their multipoint, due to interference on the ground. And so some of the thought is that maybe they're doing it because now 2.4 from tower to tower will be clean because no one's using it on their tower anymore. So if you use a good dish, you can cut out a lot of that ground noise.
Hmm.
Possibly some foliage penetration.
Sure.
Obviously nothing that you'd get out of a lower frequency, but 2.4 is going to be better than 5. Anything.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear foliage penetration.
but I've heard a couple good performance reviews of that. A guy swapped out a Rocket 365 with the 3X and went from like 30 megs to like 180 megs in the same channel. Well, actually, I guess it's the entire channel. Is Justin Wilson in here now too? He joined the chat, but I don't know if he... Nope, he's gone. All right.
He's probably just chatting and saying, "Hey, Mike, how are you?" And then, oh, God.
I didn't even know that... I'd heard him from, but I didn't know that I had invited him to the chat. Maybe he just hopped in not knowing what it was. So I was real interested to see those coming until I saw the prices. The AF2X the 5X is like $379 or so. The 2X is less than $100 more, or around $100. And so that's okay, it's seems somewhat reasonable because it's, the 5X is going to have a huge volume lead over it. But then the 3X is like twice the price of the 5X. It doesn't, now who's going to deploy it when it's $700 or $800 a radio? It's currently the best backhaul there is in that band, but it's $800 for a radio.
But is that for a point-to-point link, is that not too bad? Or is this a proper air fiber as opposed to is it with the two dishes, yeah?
These are the connectorized air fibers. So you roll your own dish.
Right.
Or use one of their single dishes.
They are shipping their own dishes for 2 gig and 3 gig for the new product. They're just not here yet. The 2X and 3X should be in the U.S. already. The rest of it's on the boat. I didn't bother to ask about Ireland. Sorry.
And I think 800 euros a radio or dollars or whatever is not actually too bad for backhaul. Okay, for a subscriber unit, it's ridiculous. It would have to be a backhaul type subscription as opposed to just, fiber to the home or whatever, or Wi-Fi. Okay. But if it's $800 radio, $1,600 for a link. I mean, we've all paid a lot more for links than if it performs.
It's not like it's the end of the world, but it's twice the price of the other one. Why? When it was the Rocket 365, it made sense because they take a Rocket M5, they put on a frequency inverter thing to make it work elsewhere and some other voodoo, and you get the rock, you know, now you get the Rocket 365. Well, the air fiber is all custom from the ground up. So what's the, you know, where's this doubling of the cost come in? Unless they're just assuming that the volume is going to be that drastically different,
I'd say it's purely commercial. Like, you know, people with a 3.5, like in Ireland at least, 3.5 is like licensed. So they say, well, you paid a license for this, so you got to pay us a little bit more. It just, you know, I don't know now.
It does seem like it actually makes the 3 gig spectrum actually worthwhile.
Yeah, and it certainly has all of the Telrad users real anxious. You know, Telrad costs like $30,000 per tower. It works really good, but it's $30,000 per tower, and everyone's afraid that people throw up at, you know, $800 air fiber 3X, that their $30,000 investment just goes down the drain. Remains to be seen. Obviously, most, you know, I doubt the people that have beta tested either one have both. So, or if they did, they could talk about it. So, at least we'll see what happens with that.
But you have certain regulations around the 3.5 band. Like, there are certain requirements for you to actually use it. Is that correct?
Up until a few years ago, it wasn't even available in the United States. It was strictly federal government spectrum. But back a few years ago, they opened a piece from 3650 to 3700. And then within that, they made the lower 25 available to pretty much anything, and then the upper 25 available to only devices that met certain cooperation requirements in their protocols. But we've been going through a lot of FCC proceedings the past few years, and they have opened up from 3550 to 3650, making it a total of 150 megahertz now available. The original bands were like a light license. Like, you had to pay the FCC to get a license, but there was no exclusivity, and anybody could get one.
Mm-hmm.
But now the new one, they're going to have, you can bid on a license. It's really small license areas, so therefore it's more likely that you will win a license for your area versus the cellular company just buying half the state. And, you know, for $50 million, you could buy, like, we have what's called census blocks, census tracts. They're really small areas, you know, portions of a town. You know, it's possible there could be 8 different licensees in the same town, depending on the size of the town and how they bid. But there's still going to be spectrum reserved for unlicensed use for anybody else to run. So we'll just kind of have to see how that ends up checking out in, you know, in practice versus FCC proposal.
Will the FCC have an arbitration role between, let's say, the 8 licensees, or will they have strict conditions that each licensee has only this part of the spectrum? Like each one would have a separate.
It's actually going to be completely dynamic, controlled by some database gods somewhere. Google's likely going to be one of the databases, since they already have one for the TV white space area. It's functioning on the same concept. So then your radio will go wherever the FCC tells you it's going to go. And that could change as time goes on. So you're not licensing, you know, 3550 to 3560, you're just getting 10 megahertz wherever they decide you're going to go. But they're controlling everybody, so they will not let anybody else's radio turn on in your spectrum while you're using it. And the nice thing with licenses is that if there's fewer bidders than licenses, licenses are free. The licenses only cost money if there's more bidders than the number of licenses available. Which is good for, I guess, those bidding for the licenses.
All right.
Anyone else have any much for the 3X, 2X, or find something else?
I wanted to talk about those 60 gig radios coming out of San Francisco.
Oh yeah. I've seen your Skype message, and I just realized that we hadn't talked about them on any of the shows yet. I know quite a bit. I've got one of the guys that works there on a Skype chat. But what do you guys know, and what do you think? What are you looking forward to?
Them not being vaporware.
Yeah, if they're as good as they sound, it's really going to shake up the industry, right?
Yeah, right. I'm perfect target market for them, and I sent them an email. Hey, you know, send me a beta unit. I'll test it out. I can literally use all of it right now. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you know, just pre-order. It's coming out at the end of the month. I'm like, what you said last month. So, I don't know. It looks good. Sickly's got some products that are pretty similar as well, but not as cheap, I don't think.
Hey, Tom, is 60 gigahertz available over for you, Tom?
I'm not too sure. I think it's 80. Actually, maybe 60. Well, no, I don't know. Sorry.
But the
problem is all of our hops are much longer than what they would give, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, it'd be around 1 to 2 kilometers would be the limit on those. Would it be right in saying that?
Right, yeah. Yeah, all you're going to get is 1 to 2 kilometers out of that.
One of our links, like the shortest hops we'd have were around 7-8 kilometers or 5-6 kilometers, which...
I just did 261-meter air fiber links, so it's perfect for me. I could have use those instead. And Alex, I had no problems doing what we talked about. So.
Would you not run fiber, you lazy fecker?
But for those that don't know, IgniteNet or Ignite whatever.
IgniteNet
has a 60 gigahertz Metro Link product coming out. It will have an integrated 5 gigahertz backup radio, which is what I've been asking for from these vendors for forever. You know, anybody that has over 10 gigahertz, will you build in a 5 gig backup so that, you know, during fading events, we have something usable? Well, no, just, add your own other radio. Well, now I got extra roof rent. I've got to figure out, not that it's difficult, but, you know, I have to make my routers, you know, do that aggregation or switching with which link is which. But the best thing about these products is they're $500. The nearest competitor is like $3,600 or $4,000, somewhere on that.
What sort of speed?
Gig. Full gig.
Yeah, full gig.
Full millisecond latency, kind of its own proprietary. It's
2.5 gigs half duplex or aggregate. So it's a full gig.
1.25, okay. So it's a proper actual, it's pretty much decent link. Okay. Nice.
And they do have some other stuff coming that I'm really excited for that I probably can't talk about, but keep your eye on them.
Why can't you talk about it? Come on, you can tell us.
I've told all my vendors I'll play nice. That way, I keep getting the information.
Loose lips, shit.
It's their ships, not yours.
Yeah, loose lips sink their ships. Yeah, but obviously, there's not a lot of use cases for it for most traditional WISPs, but it opens up a lot of opportunity in the urban markets for people to do, you know, really high throughput point-to-point links, bringing down the cost a lot of, you know, pulling a 10 gig fiber into one building and then branching out to all the neighboring buildings with gig links. Drop some, you know, lower end CCR at that site and light up the whole building for $1,500 plus whatever, you know, the internal costs are. I'm really looking forward to that.
Some people are doing that now with current hardware.
Oh, right, yeah. I mean, there's...
Certainly you can be a lot more competitive with some new products, right?
Yeah, and then, you know, those, sure, yeah. You know, those who aren't as well-funded can, you know, slip into that game as well.
Sure.
So the things I have on the list here... Did you guys see that come up?
You're breaking up quite a bit, Mike.
I'm guessing not. Oh, I'm breaking up. That's...
Is it me or you?
No, he's cutting out for me, and you are not. So.
Yeah, no, it's just Mike for me.
Mike, you got to change channels, buddy. You got some wireless interference going on there.
Getting changed from my servers.
Time to hardwire in.
Well, I mean, I'm hardwired here, but I drew like several backhauls to get to.
Or upgrade ISPs.
Hello.
Hi. I saw that Observium is adding support for air fibers on the mailing list. So I don't know if Adam had a change of heart or not, but apparently he's doing some WISP work now. Thought that was interesting.
Yeah, Mike, I noticed that announcement as well, but I haven't dove into the Observium world.
I'll let you know what it looks like when it comes out. Sure. I've been updating every day now, waiting for it. But
good luck. Right. The issue was I was having whatever it was seemed to be gone now.
Yeah, you're coming through better
there
now.
There was a flock of birds flying through your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, yet I just started checking the network monitoring, and by look, everything was fine. I checked back, and sure enough, my desktop's pinging Google again, so I'll look into it later. I have a show to do. But the Edge Switch lights. Did you guys hear about those?
Yeah. Looks like they've got some really good price per performance for a new switch.
Yeah. I wish each of them had two more SFP Plus slots. I wish the 24 port had two to begin with, and the 48 port had four. They're pretty competitive. I think they're down to like $400.
Which ones are these?
The Edge Switch Lite from Ubiquiti. They're basically taking the Edge Switches that they already had and yanking out all of the PoE. It's just basic switching. Useful for data centers or places.
What's the command line like? Is it like iOS-esque, or is this?
I have no idea. But I think JJ has some. I think he likes them.
I looked through the manual a little bit. I haven't played with it firsthand, but it looks like the CLI is pretty decent on it.
Yeah, I have to say we're used to the TP-Link ones, the 3424s. The 3216s, the 3210s, and the 5424s. They're reasonably good, like, I mean, and you know, you can get a 3424 for around, without the PoE, for around €150. Full wire speed, which isn't bad. And then the actual 3424Ps are around €300, in around that, you know. So they're not bad. Like, they have no 48-port model. They do have a new layer 3 switch one, which is around €1,500, which will offer, like, it'll take up to 128,000 routes and so on and so on. But that looks interesting, but and it has redundant power supplies. The only thing is, I haven't been able to buy a redundant power supply, or I haven't been able to buy some of the expansion modules, you know, where they have dual 20 gig kind of stacking modules. But so I haven't really had a chance to play with the higher end, let's say, models with the uplinks, you know, the 10 gig uplinks. So the 10 gig uplink ones are around €800, so, you know, with so they're a little bit more pricey, you know, but the standard 24 gig ones have been working well for us for a while now, I'd say.
Which product was that again?
TP-Link. They're basically the layer 2 added switches, not the web smart, which is not that smart. Smart switches, I just yawn. But they do the 3424s and the 5428s. Are actually, I have to say, a reasonably solid switch. Like, they haven't fallen over for us at all, and quite pleased with them. Like every switch, they have a few bugs, but they're like in terms of when you're configuring them. But you get over that, you know, when you see the price, you know. But they've been solid once they're deployed, you know, that kind of way. So. But I haven't seen the Edge Light. Have a look. We've started to use, or Michael, my colleague, has started to use some of the CRSs. I've no real feedback now. I know that when we were discussing them, I wasn't that happy about the configuration interface, and I haven't heard any feedback on it just yet, but.
All right. Other things I kind of threw together real quick before the show, and I know I'm going to hear about it later. Ubiquiti still does not have DFS or 5150 megahertz in their new Air Max products. So I say by new, like less than 2 years old. Although I saw some of the public channels say that that they do have a beta version out for some of them that does the 5150, so maybe by Christmas we'll have all of the 5 gig back and available to us in the US on the new products.
Yeah, they say that they're working in that direction, and there's certainly some signs of it, but clearly we aren't, you know, really seeing the fruit of that yet.
not many people seem to be having the difficulty that they do with getting this stuff done. We just hope it's all worth it in the end.
Maybe they will have an announcement at their next gathering.
Yeah, I noticed that for Vegas, they have for Wispapalooza time, they have their own show, or like their own event. Oh, Miller dropped off. Their own event scheduled at a different hotel.
They're calling it the next event.
Yeah, I registered for it just because I'm probably going to go, but I don't know if it's like lined up with the official timing or how that works out.
Who is this?
Ubiquiti having a show.
All right.
October 12th in Vegas.
I don't have any more useful information for you, Tom, regarding you being there or not. So I'll let you know when I know anything.
Okay, cool.
But
Wispalooza. I've never been to one. So you're saying about 1,200 people, 1,100 people at the event, is it roughly?
Yeah. It's been growing. It was almost 1,100 last year, so I'd imagine it'll be up there again now, especially with Ubiquity having their event at the same time.
Right. Yeah, I was kind of disappointed. It seemed like Ubiquity just kind of stopped holding their world conferences and slowly let them fade away. So we'll see what they have in store.
Alrighty. We seem to be running out of steam. Anything else you guys wanted to talk about?
Do you want to talk about the 1072s, or do you want to wait till Thrift comes on?
Thrift was supposed to talk about the 1072s today, but for some reason he couldn't make it, so since he's going to have more information on that than any of us.
We can be nice and let him share with the group.
Yeah, I'll just let him handle that whenever
he's too busy time traveling right now, anyways.
But I'm anxious to see what they do.
We waited this long for them to actually become a real product, so we can wait a little bit longer for discussion on them, right?
Yeah. Just hope it doesn't turn into, 6 months, and then another 6 months, and another 6 months, and then we all move to Brocade or something else.
X86.
But,
64-bit.
I should really have time to say in there. All right, Greg normally says this.
I was saying X86.
Greg normally says this, but I guess we're running out of steam here. So what do you guys have coming up in the next couple of weeks that's interesting? Or are you doing anything interesting? Nobody's interesting.
Oh, I'm just trying to keep head above water right now because it's August, right? And all the kids come back from school, and we have a lot of dorms. So a lot of kids don't know how to plug in a router and get online. So it's a lot of hand-holding.
Yeah.
So that's what I got going on this month is all of that. It's horrible.
Yet, I would think that by now kids would know how to operate those things, but I guess maybe we're over the curve of, maybe 5 or 10 years ago the kids, knew, and now they're lazy and don't want to learn anything anymore, so maybe we're just falling back to nobody knows yet.
Jesus, Mike, you sound like you're 60 there. how's the internet exchange just going for yourself and Justin and Justin.
Well, we started RVIX and RVI-IX.com or org. We got traffic graphs, public traffic graphs for that up. Just Akamai on there and about it right now. And then we've got LinkedIn with Links Nova. And then most recently, we just got LinkedIn with Equinox.
Cool.
And that's been quite amazing to get into that. So.
Cool.
Nothing. No big announcements here. We've got Akamai is our gear is in place. We just had some scheduling issues and some equipment that didn't get here that was supposed to. So. Once we get that straightened out, they should be online. We've got quite a few large networks that don't have any Akamai now. I think currently we're up to about 200 prefixes being announced on the exchange. We've got one more pending that he's got about 75 or 80 prefixes. And we've got another one signing up, just waiting for paperwork to finish going through, that they're going to bring 500 prefixes.
Yes.
Things are really starting to go. Talks with Microsoft about getting a box from them. because we didn't quite have the traffic they wanted to see yet for, you know, them, you know, building out, you know, their network to us, which, you know, understand, you know, to build out a pair of 10 gig pipes is going to cost them $5,000 a month and all the other stuff, so it has to be worth their time. But still waiting on Google to do that kind of stuff. You know, all the big guys you're talking to said, you know, either said, yes, you meet our qualifications, we're, you know, we're in process, or, you know, let's send a box instead. So I'm really looking forward to getting some of this stuff completed.
Has any of you noticed a big jump on Google IX traffic recently? Because we're seeing a significant jump, like a 50% jump in our Google traffic. So I don't know what they're doing differently, but
I'm not. You know, my network isn't paired with anybody yet. So, and then we don't have Google yet on the IX. So I don't have anything there to offer.
All right.
About 15% of our traffic is Google, and over 50% of it's Netflix. So, and then Edgecast was up there, and Akamai is up there.
It's funny, like, Google is about 3 times as much as Netflix on our network, and about, you know, but it's kind of funny how you say Netflix is number one, and...
I was really surprised. I was talking to one of the gamer guys on our network, and he is like, I've got 4 millisecond ping times for Rocket League now. I was like, that's awesome, you know, to be able to play games with 4 millisecond ping time across our network.
So. That's pretty nice.
That's nice. Alex, Tom, you guys have anything exciting coming up before we do the next show?
Hopefully that's not too far from now.
Yeah, it's you know, next couple weeks get Thrift in here.
And maybe nothing noteworthy at the moment.
All right. Tom, you been in any good bars lately?
No. I was in Amsterdam, actually, which I was in one or two bars there that were pretty good.
You got a little dirt on your face here. I don't know what this is.
Yeah, what's going on there, Tom?
I just decided this morning that, you know, seeing as I've gone through puberty finally, I said I'd celebrate it.
Was it last month?
It was just last month, actually, yeah.
I don't know if any of the other guys have seen this, but just this morning, I believe it was, I saw a video of Tom singing on Facebook. It was quite a sight. It was several minutes long.
Yeah,
what can
like
be
just
seen can't be unseen. So
it wasn't nothing obscene. No, it was. I was well behaved. It's a song called Raglan Road, and basically, yeah, just had a few pints, and the band that was up there took a break, and they went, can I grab the mic? And they said, yeah, work away, we're tired. So then, one of my friends videotaped me without permission. Then uploaded it. It's the dangers of Facebook. Of course, my wife was in Poland at the time, and I was out partying in Ireland, so she was not too impressed to hear it on Facebook. That I was out having a few pints with the friends, so... Well, there you go.
Alrighty. Well, I guess we'll wrap this up then. Hopefully, Greg figures out whatever the hell's wrong with his laptop, and since Windows 10, he just installed it. He couldn't get first Skype was using up all the resources on the laptop, and then he couldn't get the recording software to work. And by the time we spent an hour trying to make it work, he had to go anyway. So. I took over with the Hangouts, and the only one I had done before, or ones I'd done, were all, at shows where there's a bunch of us, we're just spreading it out, and so I apologize if the presentation was shit. I've been driving it. Hopefully, you didn't spend the whole time just staring at
your extreme close-up.
But, All right, well, see you guys later.
See ya.
See ya. Are you going to talk after this?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, not here because I have to stop this.
Okay, so stop, but can't you just leave it off air?
I don't know the details. We'll find out.